When I arrived at the campground, I was genuinely happy to see my cousins, siblings, mom, and stepdad. All my favorite homemade foods were ready, the fire lit, the drinks were flowing. The fragments chimed in. "They're getting drunk again," Five whispered. "Yes, but they always get drunk at these things," 13 jabbed. "We're not safe when they get drunk, remember?" 7 reminded us all. "That's true. They got drunk, didn't pay attention, and we got hurt. But we won't get hurt now," I reminded them. "Damn right we won't," 13 added while she put on her armor. "We don't trust them," they all shouted. I heard their words and, for the first time, acknowledged I didn't completely trust any of the adults. It didn't matter that most of them had no connection whatsoever to my sexual abuse. The alcohol on their breath triggered every cell in my body. Alcohol plus family adults equals sexual assault. It was a simple equation my body had worked out, and I had finally begun to understand. I chose to compartmentalize or dissociate so that I could try to enjoy the camp out. I mentally locked away the fragments for 48 hours and repeated some simple information to myself. "They're drunk. I'm an adult. It's fine. I'm fine." That became my inner dialogue. But I found myself sitting on the perimeter of the adults, watching them take yet another drink. It was probably one of the first times I actually paid attention to what my mind and body felt like around family. I felt unsafe. The cues I ignored for years were now fresh in my mind, and I felt the need to be hyper-alert. "Hey, Mom, let's go for a walk," I said. "Sure," she replied, and we took off down a path toward a vista point. Sitting down under a large tree overlooking the valley, it was time to talk. "So I wanted you to know that I've started going to therapy," I said. "Well, I think that's a good thing." Her response struck me as odd. Did she have a concern for my mental health she never shared? "The reason that I'm in therapy is because Grandpa abused me when I was young," I blurted out, and then immediately started crying. A glazed look came over her face. She was motionless. We sat next to each other in silence until she eventually wrapped her arms around me as I continued to cry. "He got others, too," she finally replied. My body and mind recoiled. A powerful sense of betrayal sparked within me. At that moment, the mother I knew no longer existed, and the fundamental bonds between a mother and her daughter broke irreparably. I looked at her through a new, sharper lens and felt nothing. Empty. My tears dried up. "He got others, too? What the hell does that even mean? Who are the others? Where are they? How does she know?" The fragments shouted over each other, breaking their unusual weekend silence.